Hey, you guys, it's Matt Walsh. Have you listened to UCB Sports and Leisure yet? What are you waiting for? It's the number one improvised investigative journalism podcast in America. And it's funny, too. We've had amazing guests in the past. John Gabris, Ego Wodum, Lauren Lapkus, Andy Daly, Rob Hubel, Mary Holland, Ron Livingston, just to name a few. What are you waiting for? Go to the UCB Comedy Podcast Network and please check us out. I think you'll like it.
Yeah. Hello, welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling Podcast, a podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host with the most, the modern day goof, Haraja, Donsky Blackamora, Donnie Kayfabe, Donnie Capri from the one time that I went to the Isle of Capri, Dan Black coming at you like Cleopatra Gabba wee. Hey, baby, we got a lot of hot wrestling action coming at you. But before we do, remember a couple things. You can get your opinion on this show. What other wrestling podcast has the cash-in feature? None of them. Yeah. So listen, you can call and leave a voicemail at 316-530-2429. 316. 530-2429. Yeah. All right. Look, this was a pretty spicy, hot week of wrestling action. I'm here with Nasty Newman. What up?
How about it, slap nuts?
Okay, you combine two catchphrases. Okay, let's get into it. I mean, there's a lot to get into here. I think the first thing I want to mention is that our guest for this evening was supposed to be Mr. John Gabris, but he's stuck on set.
It's because we only have the highest quality guests, movers and shakers in the industry.
Yeah, he's Hollywooded us. Oh, we got Hollywood Gabris.
He's too busy.
So look, I'm not mad at him, okay? He's had to cancel on us two times. He's a friend.
He hot-shotted us a little bit.
He hot-shotted us a little bit. So
I did see him yesterday reading scripts, so maybe he's in conjunction. I don't
scripts
know.
For all you plebeians out there. It's what actors read and memorize before they entertain you.
Yeah, all you slap nuts who thought that they weren't called scripts, they were called pamphlets and books. You just got hit with an industry term. Whoa. Now you're in the game, baby. Now you're in the game. Okay, so look. So here's the thing. John Gabris hosts a great podcast called High and Mighty. On his podcast, he does a gimmick, if you will, where he asks his listeners to rate and subscribe. Hey, that's normal. You should rate and subscribe to this podcast. Give it 5 stars. Recommend this podcast to your friends. If you got friends who like pro wrestling, the best thing you could do for this podcast is tell them about it. Tell them to get on the action. Maybe they'll cash in. So Gabris, Newman, what are you on the phone? Listen to me.
I'm listening. I'm multitasking. Put the phone
down. No, multitasking is for no. I am directly talking to you.
All right.
So Gabris does this thing where he says, if you give me 5 stars,
yeah,
and roast me in the comments, I'll read it on air. And then he starts every episode reading the roast on air. So I'm saying to you guys, go. Give his podcast 5 stars. He's my friend. That's cool.
Right.
But in your roast, tell him, yo, you didn't show up to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast.
Yeah.
What the fuck is your deal?
Well,
yeah, exactly. What are you, Austin, not showing up to Raw? What is this? And yeah, that's it. So High and Mighty podcast, give him 5 stars. Make sure you give him the 5 stars and only just talk about what a bullshit individual he is for not showing up to the podcast. You also call him fat and stuff. That seems to be what other people do. I'm not encouraging it because I don't fat shame even dudes. All right, coming at you. Gabba wee. All right, let's get into the hot wrestling action. Friend of the show, Arlo Marmel, texts are coming in. He must be watching. So maybe we'll get his opinions on the air.
Or not.
So, Zig, you bring up the Survivor Series 2017 card.
Yep.
Because that's going to be this Sunday.
It's going to be exciting. It's exciting.
I mean, we get into the predictions. So, all right. So, how are you feeling about it? What are you feeling, Newman?
I feel like they successfully sort of created a sense of competition between the two brands, like almost out of nowhere.
Right.
With just these Under Siege gimmicks of people coming in and interrupting. Yeah, I'm excited. I think the Raw team is badass.
Under Siege. under siege.
I once again forgot how long that is.
My favorite is the other guy who goes under siege.
Oh, no, I pressed it again.
Under siege.
You know, that was a note from production. Can we just get one more
get a
in
dramatic
there?
Dramatic repeat.
Yeah, actually, because it helps that. Okay, so while we're soundboarding, let's go for a drive time. Gabba wee. So, okay, so look. The whole under siege thing is cool.
Yeah.
I like it. We talked about it. The one, and I'm like, I think all the angles are cool. No pun intended. You guys know Kurt Angle.
He had a great
right?
line.
The guy who said this.
WWE champion Jinder Mahal.
Maybe he didn't give him any attention because he knew he wouldn't be the champion.
Right, yeah.
I'm like a lot of it. The one feeling I can't shake of the whole thing is that, like, why would the superstars be loyal to their brand?
That is the
one thing that I can't shake. And I've said the way to fix that is expose a little bit of the money.
Sure.
Be like, hey, here's this. Talk about ratings.
Yeah.
Instead of being like A show, B show, if it's something just like, hey, this show, like, we're fighting here. But right now it's just kind of like, I don't know, you're just like doing it in a way that's just a little mindless.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying I hate it. I'm into it. But I'm like, when I see certain guys, there's certain wrestlers when they're in the pack of right. mobbing and you're just like, what does Sheamus care here?
Yeah. You know, like. Yeah, yeah. I thought the exact same thing. And like Finn. Finn was another one where I'm like, what is he, like, why is he this amped?
Right.
Strowman, when he came out, I'm like, why would he come out and defend anybody? Like, he comes in, he, like, checks in with Angle.
Yeah, it's anti-gimmick. Like, yeah. So if you think about movies like Independence Day or something, right? Okay. Like, those kind of movies where you're like, oh, the whole world, they all fight the aliens. They all, like, come together.
Right.
So you're taking a roster, it's like, we have this common enemy. Even a guy like Strowman, he who has no allegiance.
Right. A stateless actor.
Exactly. It's like, my existence depends on this. The existence doesn't depend. Like, we needed Vince to come out and just be like, one of these shows is getting canceled.
Right.
You know, but I don't know how, something like that, which is like, maybe there's some kind of thing that's like, hey, we're giving, like, more funding here, or like, I don't know. Something.
Yeah.
So I know they try to avoid money, but there's a way to do it.
Yeah.
How could we do it? Let's solve it right now.
All right. So you're saying, like, money in terms of, like, how much the company's making, or what?
Like, in terms of, like, why do you need to be the supreme brand?
Oh, sure, right.
Well, like, even if they sold us that, like, oh, the A show, B show, if they were like, people don't even care about SmackDown.
Right.
I guess that's what they're going for. But it's like, if they beat up the champion, is it? I mean, even they're not even saying, like, who's the better champion.
Kind of the subtext is that it's like, it's Shane versus Stephanie, right?
Right.
But also
their beef is like, so maybe, also could be used to be
that's
better.
What I'm saying.
They haven't even been face to face at all,
right? So that's what I'm like, maybe if like, Vince comes out and is like, you know, if SmackDown loses, Stephanie takes over SmackDown, if Raw loses, Shane takes over Raw, maybe play, you know, use their
stakes.
Food. Yeah.
Some kind of stipulation, some kind of stakes. But then, so we can add that.
Right.
But then how does that make the locker room care?
I guess they would want, I guess no wrestler there would want Stephanie to be in charge. So that doesn't really.
Right.
They wouldn't fight for her.
Maybe the land of opportunity angle could be brought in where they're like, hey, this is the land of, like, you know, right here. Like, think about all the opportunities you guys have gotten here.
Right.
If they win, then we're just going to be the Raw B show.
Right, yeah.
Maybe if it was like Stephanie is Raw and she's, and then whoever wins that. But then how, yeah, I'm just not sure. Like, I'm not sure why we're supposed to care about who wins these matches, except for the fact that we do care.
Right.
Because I want to see who wins AJ versus Brock. I understand the supremacy there, but I don't understand why I care what show they're on. You can easily swap what show they're on.
Right.
Like, I don't know what their loyalty is. Like, in Game of Thrones, it's like, I'm House Lannister. Like, that's my blood.
Mm, right.
Right? It's blood. It's like nationality. Mm-hmm. There's no nationality here.
Right.
It's just two colors.
Right.
It's like a stupid color war. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, because even, I get, yeah, it, Because otherwise, it's just it's like a field day. It's like when a school has a field day, and it's like, here's the red team, here's the blue team,
right.
And we're going to...
Okay, think about it like this. All right, in real sports, they really care, right?
Right. Because they're there, they're representing the city, they're representing...
Right.
The, yeah.
So why does all right, think about this. Like, why does Tom Brady care so much about winning? He's going to get paid regardless.
Well, his legacy. He wants to be known as a good,
right.
successful.
Also, he's 40, yeah. right? So it's still proving himself at an older age.
Right.
But I'm saying there's none of that here.
Right. There's the combined age of both of the main teams is like 204 years and 208 years.
Right. So you're like, what? All right, so... What? Right. So you're like, okay. Also, you know, there are like actual monetary benefits to winning the Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah.
Like you literally get more money.
Right. And even like, and like a boxing with like a purse and stuff like that.
Purse. Yeah. Totally that. So it's like, what if Vince is like somebody gets? I mean, you know, like someone's like, we get an extra hour. Right. SmackDown gets the extra hour.
Yeah.
Or have Raw win so it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Or yeah, start talking about money on an individual performer level. Where you get, like, if Alexa wins,
yeah.
she gets a bonus.
So imagine, right, and imagine if they did that. Imagine if like, the wrestlers were like, why should I care, Stephanie? Because it was a feud just between the McMahons.
Right.
And they're like, why? And he goes around like, I'm going to make this worth your while. I'll give you this. And you saw individual wrestlers start caring.
Right.
And maybe you don't need to do it for the whole, or maybe you write one story for, like, the bulk of the locker room, but
right.
then all the individual champions, you explain to them why it matters.
Right, right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There it is. You're listening, guys? You got time.
Do you feel that, or am I?
No, you're right.
Sometimes I'm like, am I overthinking wrestling? Like, obviously, when my wife walks by and she's just like, oh, this is for kids. Like, that's her thing. It's
right.
Like, that's, she would just be like, because it's for kids.
Right. It doesn't have to, it's not that deep.
As a matter of fact, wrestler friends I know would say the same thing
right,
to me.
Right.
They wouldn't say it's for kids. They'd just be like, yo, it's wrestling. Like,
right.
What are you doing?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's...
And I'm like, well, I just see so much potential.
Yeah, I think because it is very good, and I am going to watch it, and I am excited for it.
Right.
But it would be cool also if, like, storytelling-wise, it just had that extra... Had the stakes. The
right.
dramatic stakes.
You imagine that it would be perfect, because this card is incredible.
Right.
This card is Mania caliber good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This card could easily, if you saw it, you'd be like, oh, that could be the Mania card.
Yeah.
Except for that it has two little matches.
Right.
It doesn't have 40 matches on it. It doesn't have enough matches. But you'd be like, it's amazing. That, like, that being said, I want to talk about something that happened on Raw that I think was some of the best writing in wrestling I've seen for a while, which was the whole Jason Jordan Kurt Angle thing,
uh-huh.
which was, to me, like, it was very soap opera-ish.
Sure.
It was very much like, it was very soapy. It was very, like, sappy.
Squeaky clean,
but,
soapy.
Okay, they're clearly setting up for Triple H Angle,
uh-huh.
but they did it in a way that was like, oh, man, this is cool. Even
yeah.
though it kind of buried Jordan.
Yeah.
It kind of buries Jordan, but he deserves to be buried, to be frank. But he comes out, his whole thing, like, That's the level of theater that I crave in
right.
wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm interested to hear people push back on it. But Angle is like, hey, I'll give my son that spot.
Yeah.
Okay? And he's like so excited to do it. He goes out there. Stephanie comes out and is like, I'm disappointed in you. Why would the nepotism? You give that spot to Jason Jordan. What has he done?
Yeah.
And then he's like, and
he's very talented.
You see him. Like, he's like, kind of made a mistake there.
Yeah.
He's like, I gave my son this. And the story is like, I've been an absentee father. This is like a good script.
Yes.
Okay? He's like, but I gave it to him. Then they show a shot of Stephanie and Kurt Angle watching Jason Jordan's match against Bray Wyatt, former champion.
Right.
Right? Coming off the mumps.
Yeah.
Right? they're watching the match. Kurt Angle, he's doing his best to look super nervous about it. Stephanie's like not sold on it. She's very disappointed in Angle. Cuts an amazing promo to open the show.
Uh-huh.
You remember exactly why Stephanie McMahon is like super valuable.
Yep.
Right? I like to point out to you guys, like, when somebody is like, that's a fucking high level performer.
Yeah.
You know?
He had a great line, though, when she was like, what's the first thing you're going to do at Survivor Series? And he just, like, stepped to her and was like, I'm going to break your brother's
yeah.
ankle. I fucking love that.
Right. I'm going to break his ankle. But then she retaliated
yeah.
by being like, I don't want an ankle. I want my brother's head on yeah. a stick. Or whatever.
Cersei.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, because she is Cersei. Like, her character is so good. And they have the bloodline, obviously. So they're watching. Jason Jordan wins the match.
Yeah.
Against Bray Wyatt. Amazing. And he's, like, feeling good. I made this great choice.
Yeah.
Then Bray Wyatt beats the shit out of him after, right? He goes out, he's hurt, and he's like, I got to replace you. Jason Jordan's crying, being like, hey, he brings up Kurt Angle's legacy. Be like, you won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck. Now I realize I'm just recapping it, but I'm saying, like, this is such a great example of, like, the potential of wrestling. It's like, okay. And that, I don't mean they should make every wrestler the son of another wrestler. Because that's the thing I don't like. But in this case, since Jason Jordan is so empty, which they saw, they were able to make it work. And then he's like, he's like, please, let me do it. Like, this is my legacy. Like, I want to, this is the first time I ever get to wrestle with my dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so much stakes there. Kurt Angle is so torn. He's in the ring, like, he knows it's the wrong decision, but he's like, I've never done right by this kid.
Yeah.
He raised himself, he got here on his own, and this is the least I could do for him. And he's right. Our bloodline, we have this resilience, we're able to do it. And he's not able to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Stephanie comes out, do it. It's like, I can't do it. Triple H music hits. Triple H comes out, and he's like, I'm going to be the fifth member. You really fucked up here, Kurt Angle. Pedigrees his son.
Knocks his son out cold.
And leaves. I mean, come on. That is that is the type of theater that I think we can get from wrestling. Maybe not every week, but a lot of weeks.
Yeah, I would like to think that that's what they're aiming for always, and it's just difficult to do with that many moving parts.
Yes.
You know, live.
Well, that's part of their process that's messed up. Like, they should have an off season.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be wrestling, like, in the during football season. Right now.
Right.
They should stop. Wrestling should be over.
Yes. Because, I mean,
and they should be mapping out stories.
Yes.
And the problem is injury. The injuries is what makes the whole thing nuts, map it out. But they should have some loose stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, they could call audibles here and there, but I'm not sure what has to be so down to the wire.
Right.
Maybe because these guys are so unpredictable.
I mean,
Neville just, like, didn't show up, right?
Right, yeah. And so, I mean, some things are, like, literally happening in the moment where, like, they'll change match endings on the fly.
Right.
So, yeah, it seems chaotic.
One thing I was like, why didn't Kurt Angle go after Triple H better? He hesitated in a way. I was like, either Triple H needed to leave that ring faster after that pedigree.
Yeah.
Or Kurt Angle needed to, like, be like,
rush over to Jason Jordan. Like,
Yeah. It was like, there was, like, a big moment. But, man, did Triple H look cool.
Yeah.
He's so good.
I'm surprised he didn't have his sleeves rolled up. The dude rolls up his sleeves on everything he wears.
Well, he's rocking the suit now.
Yeah. But that doesn't matter.
But
you've,
like,
seen him with he wears, like, this big ass leather jacket, and he rolls the sleeves up. He looks ridiculous.
Yeah, he loves to look like an 80s bully.
He would roll up
Roger
the
Klotz.
He would roll up the sleeves on a suit of armor.
So here's the other thing is that, like, I kind of thought like the writing was cool there. I did think that Kurt Angle should have told him, like, you can't do it.
Right.
Because what they chose to do was bury Jason Jordan.
Right.
That was the choice.
Yeah. Like, his dad's not going
to. But if Kurt Angle said to him, like, you're not getting that spot, now a heel Jason Jordan turn is so good.
Right.
It's comic book villain good.
Yeah.
That is the story of a comic book villain.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
exactly what it is. It's like, you understand why he is cynical about the world. His dad, who ditched him, also didn't give him this opportunity. And then Triple H came out, pedigreed him, and he didn't do anything. It's like, you'd give up all humanity. Imagine Jason Jordan now is just like a vicious heel. He starts using a sledgehammer, like, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be like, that's awesome. I tried to be a good guy. I tried to be this all-American. Tried to give my dad a chance. There's no good in the world. And then Jason Jordan is just slaying dudes.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, he does. I don't think he's a shitty in-ring performer.
No, in-ring he's good.
Yeah.
I do think he, like, should have. I don't know why he switched to the booty shorts.
Yeah.
I did enjoy the straps.
Yeah. He does look a lot like a creative character that you, like, really didn't make in many changes to.
Like, he's very default, like, player one. Yeah. It's true. Anything else I had there? I thought Jason Jordan's acting was pretty good.
Yeah.
There was not a lot of... Kurt Angle does some, like, you see his ironic detachment in his eyes and stuff. A lot of good selling in the acting department this whole week. Daniel Bryan did a good job. There's a lot of good jobs that we'll get to. All right, cool. Any thoughts on that before we move on?
Nah, man, you hit it all.
I did just describe it.
Yeah.
If you wanted a show where we just recap exactly what happened, you got the right place. And I'll tell you this. Hey,
welcome to the most must-see WWE talk show in history. Welcome to...
Welcome to the most must-see Kyle TV. Even with the clip.
Miss TV, we are...
All right.
That's like the equivalent of like you starting to sprint and like tripping immediately.
Yeah, I did.
Just skidding onto the asphalt.
It's literally what I just did was the Shockmaster.
Welcome to the most must-see WWE talk show in history.
Welcome to the most must-see. Welcome to the most listened to podcast on the UCB network. Listen to Cow TV. It also makes no sense.
No.
Welcome to.
You notice, though,
Miss
that
TV.
Not 3 months ago, though, people weren't, they weren't saying Miz TV that loud. Something shifted recently again.
Miz cut a great promo this week, except it felt like just like a filler segment.
Yeah.
It was like, had nothing to, because it was just Sheamus and Cesaro who like on his side. So it wasn't, a lot of times they use Miz TV. One of the things I like about it is to instigate.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, I'm going to like cause problems, but this was like, we're the best, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, cool. All right. Hey, let's get into some cash-in. So I want to tell you something, guys, about the show. My dad is now a listener.
Dang.
On this. When I was home in New York, I downloaded Stitcher on his Droid phone, right? He has a Droid because my whole family, they're anti-Apple products.
Why is that?
Because my brother's like a big IT guy, and my little brother likes... So he's just like, yeah, they're bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't like how closed they are.
Yeah, they're all
bullshit. He customized the Android.
Yeah. Exactly. And then my dad is the perfect example of a guy who needs an iPhone.
Right.
You know what I mean? But he's like, I got the Samsung. You know?
Do you do an impression of your dad?
My dad... No, but you'll hear him.
Okay.
So my dad, he's like, cash in, how do I do it?
Yeah.
I had to explain to him a million times. Like, you leave a voicemail.
Yeah.
I was like, it's literally just leaving a voicemail. That's all it is. It's leaving a voicemail.
You remember answering machines? They had a cassette tape.
It's an answering machine, right? So my dad, the funny thing is like his opinions are like a couple weeks back.
Sure.
But he cashed in.
Great.
So it's awesome. My dad... is cashing in. Let's hear a cash in from my dad, Richie Black, coming at you. Gobble, gobble, wee, gobble, wee.
There's the beep. Hi, Dan. This is Richard Black, your dad. I totally disagree with you guys on Ronda Rousey. She will be the next greatest champion, even greater than The Rock. Bruno Sammartino and Gorilla Monsoon. She's tough. She's beautiful. And she's strong. Can you smell what the Rossi is kicking?
Oh, man.
He said, can you smell what the Rocky is kicking?
Yeah.
What Ronda is kicking.
The Ronda.
You smell what the Ronda is kicking?
I think so, yeah.
Hey, look.
Your dad's a Rousey Mark.
Can you smell what the Ronda is kicking? My dad just gave Ronda Rousey a catchphrase.
Well, can you?
Oh, man. I got to say, sometimes I love my own podcast. Is that all right? Like, sometimes that's fine. You know what? Only sometimes. Only sometimes. There's a lot of wrestling bullshit out there, but there's no podcast where people are this marky and their dads chime in and give Ronda Rousey a catchphrase. That's something. If you smell what the Ronda is kicking?
I believe so.
Yeah, we got to make that a sound drop.
Yeah,
right?
I got you. Yeah, I saw like it pops up what the transcription is, and I saw that. I was like, oh, this is going to be gold.
That's amazing. So here's the thing. My dad actually brings up a great point. That's actually why I was talking to him. He's like, I want to cash in. I was like, it's very valuable for you to cash in.
Yeah.
Because my dad represents the casual of casual wrestling fans. He likes real sports. I don't know why. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I mean,
he said she was going to be the greatest since The Rock. Better than The Rock. Better than Gorilla Monsoon. Bruno Sammartino. Widely regarded as one of the best ever.
Yeah. Well, look, he's a man of opinions. That's where I get it from. Gobble wee. So here's the thing. So but he's interested in Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's my point. When Lawrence was in here, he's just like, I don't want to see it. I don't care. Well, like, because Mike Lawrence is an amazing TV mind.
Right.
Right? Not saying my dad doesn't. He watches a lot of TV, but my dad is like, hey, I want to see you around. That's interesting.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like.
But I mean, I think he's saying, oh, she'll be better than The Rock. Like, better than The Rock. I think he's just. I think I would like to think there's some superlative speaking in there, sure. But yeah, what are you thinking?
No, I was just saying, like, being a musician, it makes you listen to music differently. So I imagine Mike, if he's a TV writer, he's obviously viewing the product differently. So he's sort of jaded. Whereas somebody like your dad, who's a casual fan,
right.
sees this star power, and that's what draws him to it.
Right. You're a music fan. Tell me, what does this song sound like to you? Okay, you said you're a musician.
Uh huh.
Okay. You know, we gotta make. I want a version where I sing the guitar gently weaves part.
Okay.
I want to do wow, Mike. I think that's more fun. But I will say, God, if you listen to this podcast, anytime Corbin's music hits, it's the first thing I think of. I want to know, is that true? Do you guys think of that? Like, the song is like kind of badass. It's got fire, and it's like, who do you see? And then I'm just like, wow, Mike. Anyway, okay. So, yeah, I mean, there's good. All right. Well, so, what do you think my dad, like, so my dad's verifying my point.
Yeah, and I think...
I think you made a good point there.
But, yeah, that's the thing is, like, will she be good? Like, I don't know. I just don't think she's going to be, like, a fun-to-watch wrestler, you know?
Right, but a lot of people don't... Most people don't care
about that.
People
yeah,
are interested fully. In WrestleMania. By the way, tickets are on sale now. Pick up your tickets at Ticketmaster.com.
Use
not
promo
a corrupt code. Piece of shit company.
Use promo code SLAPNUTS.
Yeah, promo code GABA, GABA, WEE.
All one word, lowercase.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm excited because this is in New Orleans, which is like, that's a cool town.
Yeah, have you been there before?
I've been there, but I haven't been there in like 10 years. It's just like a cool town. Hate the food, but it's a cool town.
Last time you were there, you were volunteering with the Army Corps of Engineers to rebuild Katrina, right?
I was rebuilding the storm. Right. Yeah, as a matter of fact, yeah. I would like it to come. All right, that's not even funny. It is funny. It is funny.
It's funny.
Actually, it is funny. Okay.
It's been 10 years. It's fine.
Let's see. Where are we? All right. You know, we talked about Bray Wyatt, and I think we should give Jerk Mills, one of our listeners.
Yeah.
Who is in my good graces right now for posting a way to cut tees, which I still haven't done. Because I need... So we're talking about taking our wrestling t-shirts and cutting them AJ Styles style into tanks. And you posted a great video on how to do that, which... But I needed a good block of time. I keep needing to rush to the gym, and I'm like, I'll cut it before I go to the gym, and then I'm losing time.
It seems like the key is to not just cut the sleeve off, but to cut more below it. So you get like a muscle tee situation.
Right. Well, you got to see my lats. I'm going to get the AJ Styles tattoo with this, all the years that his kids were born. I'm going to get that. So Jerk Mills, he has this thing about how to fix Bray Wyatt. I wonder how he feels about what happened in this week. Maybe we'll cover it. Maybe he'll do a recap of what he said. Well, let's see. Anyway, Gabba Wee, here we go.
Welcome to part two of the rehabilitation.
Great
of
audio,
Bray
always.
Wyatt. Yeah. Now that we've established what Bray Wyatt is, we can move on to the second piece of the puzzle, which is Aleister Black.
So he's saying, I think he was saying Bray Wyatt is like a cult leader.
Yes.
And he's like, it's important for him to have a cult. I believe that was his thing. And then his thing was that Aleister Black will be like his vessel of destruction.
Sure.
Now there are two ways of handling Black in this role. The first way is the way that WWE would book him. They would bring him in as Bray's ace. They would stick him in the Wyatt family and allow him to be the true destroyer that the Wyatt family has always lacked. But Black would no doubt excel in this role because he's a good match for anybody, and he could believably beat anybody on the roster. And that's fine, but it's short-sighted. He's far too good for that. The second way, my way, would be to bring him in as a fellow follower of Sister Abigail. Because Tommy End is a shoot Satanist. Like, for real.
True.
So why don't you just lean into that as part of his character, like they're doing? So up to this point, we've only heard of Sister Abigail from Bray Wyatt. Which implies that she is Wyatt's creation. But what if she's more than that? What if Abigail, the cult, reaches further than just the Wyatt family, like I was talking about, you know, a couple weeks ago? See, this is where things start to get interesting. Black is also a follower of Abigail, although, and this is important, Black never refers to her as Sister Abigail.
Wrestling fans.
He just refers to her as the darkness or something like that.
Yeah.
Darkness.
Black joins Wyatt on equal footing, and the two of them begin to recruit followers together. Suddenly, what was once a small group of guys in the Wyatt family becomes a full-fledged cult under the leadership of the Spooky Boys, Wyatt and Black. But
the Spooky Boys.
Bray believes that he created Abigail as a means to recruit followers. See, he's a lying cult leader, just like we've established. He doesn't actually believe in what he's saying. But Black, see, he doesn't know that. He thinks that Wyatt is a fellow believer, a true believer. Now, over the course of the year, while the two are recruiting followers, there's an underlying storyline of Wyatt not fully trusting and even fearing Black a little bit, because Wyatt doesn't fully believe in Abigail like Black does, and we see the depth and the darkness of Black's beliefs throughout this whole recruitment process. Now, this continues until Bray turns on Black. See, Wyatt sees the writing on the wall. He can see that eventually Black will realize that Wyatt is not a true believer, and that he'll try to take Wyatt out to take full control of the cult that they've built and the following. And the cult will split into two factions of guys. One is going to be loyal to Wyatt. That's your new Wyatt family. And the other will be loyal to Black, the Black Mass. Stay tuned for part three.
Ah, there will be a part three.
It's like Ken Burns over here.
I mean, yeah, I love it. Ken Burns baseball. Hardcore Ken Burns Bray Wyatt.
Hardcore history.
And he said.
Hey, look, I like that. This ties into what we were talking about with Jason Jordan. Like, I like this level of storytelling. This would work. This is very cool.
Which is exactly why it won't happen.
Right. But it requires a synergy.
Right.
And it requires a slowdown of the WWE process.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I look forward to part three. However, I'm failing to see how this fixes Bray Wyatt more than it just gets Aleister Black over.
Give him a chance at part three. He did give us a great tutorial on how to make shirts, although I haven't tried it out yet. All right, cool. Let's move on to Charlotte Flair winning the belt. How do you feel about this? Everything is being turned on its head for this card. I can only think that they were like, yo, we need Survivor Series to be a big deal. Yeah. A couple reasons make me think that is that they had Heyman talk about about subscriptions.
Yeah.
Right? He was like, sign up for WWE Network. Like, I think they're like, hey, we need Survivor Series to be big. Okay. Right. So I think they're shifting belts all around. I was like, yo, is Sin Cara going to win the belt? Because I was like, maybe, I don't know, everything is switching. So Charlotte Flair is the champion. How do you feel about it?
Oh, I like it a lot. And I think that match was fucking awesome.
And do you want to give respect to Natalya's run, or you want to give it a poo-poo on it?
I mean, she doesn't, I don't know, she hasn't done, she's a dud. I think that it's better suited being on Charlotte. Natalya has, you know, she got better a little
right.
bit. But, I mean, where she been? She hasn't done anything over the last 2 years, like I said before.
I cannot come to grips with the fact that there's two women belts.
Yeah.
It just, like, that, it just is like, they do not need two title belts.
No.
The only reason it semi works for the dudes, even though I don't like it there either, is that Brock's never around.
Right. Yeah.
So, you're like, all right, well, it's super rare. But now you're like, there's not enough talent, like we said it a million times, but that it's like also like when Charlotte becomes the champion, I would think that would be like a bigger moment,
right?
You know,
yeah, I mean, that is something too that they might have been able to have stakes in this show too, would be if they had only one belt per like show that would go between the shows,
right?
You know, win the belts for the fucking for the brand,
yeah. How do you feel about Charlotte's emotional response to winning the belt?
Well, I mean, she's a face now, so I think it's okay.
Right. It's fine because she's a face.
Yeah.
But it has always been a thing that I like. I don't like the...
When they cry?
I don't like when they cry when it feels like they're not supposed to.
Right.
Like it feels like you're, because then she had the kind of problem that I'm coming after you or whatever. But she is the face. Alexa's like a real dirtbag heel.
It would have been nice if she was able to like kind of take that, like as an actor, like take her actual emotional response and then transmute it into like a righteous indignation. Like, now I'm coming for you. You know, even with tears streaming down her face,
right.
If she became angry in that moment, and you know, however she wants to access that as an actress, but yeah.
Yeah, I do feel a little bit like when people are like, I remember like Hillary cried one time at like a bar. She was like having a beer and I was like, oh, she can't control her emotions. And also I saw a thing where like on Shark Tank, like Barbara Corcoran, like this woman was like crying on Shark Tank, which is like very common. Like all those like business shows, The Profit, Shark Tank, it's like, cry for me and I'll give you money. Ugh. It's like, cry about your business. But Barbara Corcoran was like, don't cry. Why are you crying? Like, it's like, I immediately write you off in business if you're crying.
Yeah.
There is a part of me that's just like, I want it. Like, I want, this is a performance. I want this all like controlled.
Sure.
Where you're like, when you're, I want the crying to be like part of the story also. But also like, it's like a little bit, it is cool that like when she wins, she every time is crying. And she was crying clearly because she knew her dad was watching.
Yeah.
And they were going through something like emotional.
Right.
So it's cool. Obviously, I love Charlotte. This is one of the less egregious things with the crying. The crying I was having a problem with was during when they were swapping the belts back and forth,
yeah.
Sasha and Charlotte. It was like, ugh, crying and always talking about the women's revolution when you're like, everyone's into this. We don't need to talk about how like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's a moment. Like, you're having a moment.
That seems anyway, so long ago.
Yeah. So, yeah, Charlotte's a champion. Never any problem with that. Charlotte, Alexa. My only problem with anything going on in Survivor Series is like the same thing that's happening all year. WWE's having a year of the last season of Game of Thrones, where it's like it's happening very fast.
Right.
The pacing is very off for getting the feels.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
We already had Roman Cena. We had every Cena match. We had every Cena match. Nakamura Cena.
Right.
We had Nakamura beat Cena clean.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had Roman beat Cena clean. Like, we had a lot of stuff that's big that could be big. AJ got the belt back already.
Yeah.
Now Charlotte's already got the belt back. It's just a lot of things that are like big. Anyway,
I like that stuff though. I like big changes, big surprises, stuff like that.
I think ultimately it can be okay only because the roster is so deep. You have guys waiting in the wings who are like championship caliber talents.
Right.
Who it's like, all right, well, let's move this along because we don't need like 4 years of Cena burying these guys because we're going to like have his 17th win happen, you know?
Right.
In that way, I do like it, but I'm talking about purely for the feels.
Right.
But maybe sometimes it's worth the sacrifice to make the card better, which is how apparently Vince feels, right?
Right.
He probably was like, Natalia, like, no one cares about her, so no one's going to care about Alexa and Natalia.
Right.
And like, this is Survivor Series.
Would you have?
No. Would you care if Jinder brought?
No.
You wouldn't. Like, he looked at that card and was just like, hey, we're throwing out too many freebies.
Yeah.
And that is one of the big problems WWE that we mentioned, which is that like, not everyone is a champion.
Right.
Some of the people, the best wrestlers ever, never had a belt.
Yeah.
Now it's like everyone gets a ride.
Yeah. And not everyone is a comedian, listeners.
Right.
Not everyone has the skills necessary to express themselves with humor. So don't be too hard on yourselves.
Okay. So anyway, Charlotte has the belt. Obviously, that's cool. You know, she'll hold that through Mania. There's no reason. I wonder where they're going to go with that. I don't know. Alexa Bliss. Okay. What a great promo she cut on Raw. Like, all I want is more, but that's a great feeling.
Yeah.
When she called Charlotte, what did she say about her? I wrote it down.
I forget.
Alexa. Oh, all right. She says that she's the queen of dysfunction.
Yeah.
Like, it's like calling the Flares dysfunctional.
Uh-huh.
That was such a great attack. She was like, it's either the queen of cats or the queen of dysfunction.
Yeah.
I don't care. One thing I think about Alexa, like, I this is just whatever. I feel like she is so primed to have, like how male wrestlers have, like, just, like, a hot chick valet.
Sure.
Who, like, is just arm candy.
Uh-huh.
She could be primed to have, like, male arm candy.
Yes.
right?
Yeah.
Imagine she had a guy who she like wouldn't let him talk.
Yeah.
And she just treated him like shit.
Yeah.
And like he could talk about how he wants to wrestle one day. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Imagine he was like, I submitted my tape to Tough Enough. She's like, yeah, yeah, okay, all right. And,
yeah.
Like, I think you can really, if you want to like, that's the kind of stuff that pushes women's wrestling forward, yeah, as opposed to just being like, we're in a moment. This is the women's revolution.
Right.
Women's, reverse that role,
yeah,
and have like this amazing little like
to where like if like make it like the Body Donnas, except Sunny is the one who's like the wrestler and the two Body Donnas are just like
exactly
just her valets.
I know versions of it have happened,
yeah,
like but I'm saying like nothing what I'm talking about.
No,
yeah.
Like he's just like kind of dumb. And like she's like, oh, thank God for that ass.
Like, get like a Chris Hemsworth looking guy.
Yeah.
And she's like, all right, I gotta go. Like, you know, do you watch Westworld?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, there's a scene where like that, like really strong character. She's
Maeve.
Not, I don't.
The Australian.
She's the black girl. No, not her. But I saw her at when I was at HBO Emmy party. I was like, oh, look, it's really cool when you walk by like a robot, someone who plays like a robot.
Yeah.
And oh man, I'm so cool into the my wife's an HBO actress, okay, jabronis.
HBO's home box office, it's a premium channel, you might not be able to afford it.
Exactly. Yeah. You get your parents' password. Anyway, so so I walk by her and you're like, it's like something weird about walking by a robot. Then the other day on the street, I walked by the other prostitute robot.
Oh, she lives, yeah, I've seen her.
I saw her in Hillhurst.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
She must live in that area, yeah.
Yeah, and it was weird to see her clothed.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing. Like, she's only naked.
Yeah, I was at Fred's 62 and she was like walking down the street on Vermont.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit, it's
she has like a real face where you're like, I get why you get cast.
Right.
It was a very, like, I spotted her from very far away. I was like, that's the girl from Westworld.
yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Not important. But there's a scene where it's like, there's a girl who's like, she works for like the Westworld Corporation or whatever. It's called like Monster.
Oh, yes, yes.
And there's one scene where somebody knocks on her door. They like come in and she's just fucking like a robot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, and it's just, she like turns them off just to like have a meeting.
Right. Yeah.
And she's like, get out of here. I'm going to go fuck this. Like, I was like, something about that, like Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
I would love that. They could bring up her actual fiance.
Oh, yeah. Right? Buddy Murphy.
Blake and Murphy or whatever. Yeah. Like, bring up that guy and have him be like, yeah. Am I like he could be like? Am I brought up? Did I get graduated? And she'd be like, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Go in the locker room. Like, take off your clothes. I'll be in there.
Oh man. Oh, like a female Val Venus, but not like a porn star, but just like who's just like shut up,
yeah.
Shut up, arm candy. I'll be back.
She's not like sexually harassing or anything.
No.
Nothing charged.
Yeah.
She's just like clearly like it's just like that's like my hot boyfriend.
I'm gonna be sore after this match. Get the massage table ready.
yeah.
And know your role. Yeah.
Great match. Like, tell me how you did those moves. She's like, oh, I'll teach you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Oh man, Alexa's so good.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll get into the predictions of the matches, but yeah, I thought that was good. I mean, Charlotte, yeah, okay, cool. We got to make sure we get time to just talk about the card.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of Shane's, like, rally in the beginning of SmackDown?
I don't know if I saw that. I watched SmackDown, like, live.
Maybe you turned around a little late. Like,
maybe, yeah.
In the beginning, he's, like, talking to the locker room, giving, like, a Braveheart speech.
Oh, I missed that.
You didn't see that?
No, I didn't see it.
Well, Arlen texted me, luckily. We'll have Arlen fill in.
Okay.
He was like, there's a lot of terrible shit in wrestling, he said. But the opening segment of SmackDown is one of the most horrid things I've seen to date. I really, really hated it. Nothing has exposed the fallacy of the brand. This is coming in live. Nothing has exposed the fallacy of the brand split more than the Survivor Series card. The one time a year Raw and SmackDown go head-to-head, it doesn't even make a semblance or a shred of sense. DB cut a great promo, he said.
I don't miss Arlen.
Yeah, that was the most negative text chain. I love when it comes in live while we're recording.
Yeah.
So Shane gave this rally cry. I think it was, I didn't mind it.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it. I thought it was cool. I think it's, again, Shane's performances are really flat. And also, I don't get when I see Baron Corbin, like, he doesn't seem like a guy who's like, this is my brand.
He's a lone wolf.
Right.
Yeah.
You need to sell that the lone wolf is here for the common cause. Why does Han Solo come back?
Money. and love.
He comes back because of heart.
Okay, I guess
there's
so.
No heart here.
No.
I mean, even if when they attacked Shane, they all were like, but there's no relationships. It's not deep enough.
Right.
All right, so we're just going to have to accept it. We're just getting cool matches that they think we care about.
Yeah.
The other angle fit.
I'm not changing my lifestyle. I'm 4 or 5 women every day of my life. When I kick 5 girls out of bed, I go, woo! And they go, woo, 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 because they know they've been with the world champion. Woo!
Champion.
I love it. All right, let's hear what Tulo's got to say about Under Siege.
9:56 p.m.
So funny if it was the other one.
Tuesday, Eastern Standard Time, live, Under Siege.
On a VOIP?
Holy motherfucking shit. I am freaking the fuck out.
Doesn't sound it.
This is the most fun I've had watching wrestling in the longest time
fun.
Ever.
It doesn't sound like he's
Kurt
having
Angle
fun.
Looks like I'm a psycho. Elated. What's he gonna fucking do? Powerbomb that motherfucker.
Oh, he's watching it live. Again.
Oh, my shit. God. Yeah.
What?
This is the take that the cops find when they break into the house.
Oh.
Okay, fine.
Too low,
buddy.
That's
enough. Yeah. Too low. I gotta cut that one off, right?
Look, call your girlfriend and do that.
Call your girlfriend.
Good song. Good song. That's a
I'm
good song,
I'm giving it my all. I'm not the girl you're taking home. Okay. That's literally the best I can do. All right, anyway, it's almost as good as the SmackDown song. All right, cool. Well, both shows ended amazing. We had Strowman slam Kane through the ring.
Yeah.
That was the most casual that's ever happened, right?
Yeah.
Normally, like, you kind of feel like something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Did you see that coming?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No.
And it's just a running power slam through there. Like, he sent Kane to hell.
Yeah, did you see... I looked up what happened after they went off the air.
No. I would Strowman, love to see that. Was that a network exclusive?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Strowman ends up climbing out of the hole and... throws his arms up in the air and does his scream, and then that's that.
Love that. All right, that was cool. I dug that. And then I thought the shit. Should we talk about that? All right. God, there's so much, but I want to make sure we get to the predictions. All right. Well, so I'm jumping all over the place, but Roman Reigns came back. He got some serious pop.
He definitely did, man. Yeah.
And I got to say, I'm wearing the vest again. It feels good to see him.
Yeah.
Like, he makes, especially with the Shield, he makes the Shield way cooler looking.
Yeah, I mean, like, in that moment, like, I didn't even think about it. I thought he was just going to come back, but the way they did it, where it's Ambrose and it's Rollins, and I realized while I was watching, I was like, oh, shit, Roman's back, he's going to come out, and they cheered for him for the first time, I think, in ever. And then... He was super confident, got down to the ring, and cut that promo on Stephanie saying, you know, we don't do what you tell us to do. We do what we want to do. And then he says, do you want to know what we want to do, Atlanta? And they fucking lost their mind.
Yeah. Well, I would say, like, even I agree. When Roman put the mic up to his mouth,
yeah,
I was, like, not nervous.
Right.
You know, I used to be like, he's going to blow this. Like, he obviously makes some safe choices. God, what did he say in that moment? What did he say?
He said,
you remember what he said?
Yeah, he was like,
I remember,
like,
I had a better response in my head.
He's like, something like, you're asking where we've been or where I've been. Where have you been? Because we haven't seen you the last 6 months because you got put through a table.
Yeah, that was good. I thought he should have been where he'd been. I thought he should just been like, I had the mumps.
Yeah.
I think it would have been so funny.
Yeah.
Where have you been? I was like, he should have been like, I had the mumps.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
Yeah.
Well, there's no reason to kayfabe that. They said they had viral infection, right?
Yeah.
That was like totally
was
part of it. Yeah. I had the mumps. You wouldn't let me come here.
Yeah.
You know, what's your excuse?
Yeah.
But anyway, Roman's getting more comfortable on the mic. He looked pretty deflated. Like, did you see, like, muscle-wise?
I imagine.
He looked pretty small.
Yeah, I imagine that being sick probably did a number on him.
He probably lost a lot of water weight and stuff. He might have been, I don't know, what do you get when you get the mumps? I thought that's like bumps. Or just because mumps, I think bumps.
You think he's taking bumps?
Mumps? If, when you have mumps, you get bumps, and you're not allowed to take bumps. That's an old nursery rhyme that that goes around the locker room. Started from goes back to Bruno Sammartino. It was passed down to the taker when he was the general of the locker room. All right. So anyway,
because all you know, wrestlers, they just they share their lullabies and their nursery rhymes with each other.
I do give Stephanie the props there. Like, Stephanie, like, you get heat off Stephanie.
Yeah.
It works.
I was about to say, I think part of how confident he was is it's probably very easy to work with Stephanie in the ring.
All right, moving on. For time, Lesnar. So, Heyman came out. One thing is, like, Heyman always, like, he's becoming like a little formulaic. Like, I don't like, and I think he'd been exposed because he had to do a promo setting up Jinder, and then that match didn't happen. Now it's AJ. It's always like, I'm going to explain why this opponent is so good.
Yes.
He like puts over to the opponent.
Yeah.
He does it every time, and it's like, AJ, you might be the best. It's like, we get worked by it every time. But I don't know. I think
you're the best that in the world. However, I submit to you, sir.
And then he goes on his fucking...
Yeah, that is what it is. Yeah. He goes, I submit to you, sir.
that Brock Lesnar
will not stop until every bit... So the biggest pop he got was when somebody proposed during it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, you only said yes because you've never been next to the beast, Brock Lesnar. He was basically like, you've never been fucked by Brock.
I think Brock said something to him.
Yeah.
I think he might have said something along those lines, like, oh, she only said yes because it's not me.
Right.
Or, you know, or whatever. And then he said that.
Yeah.
But then he tweeted, like, Paul Heyman tweeted something about, like, oh, could you imagine if that happened in ECW? Like, what would have happened to him?
Right.
Or, like, what would have happened to her?
Right. Oh, yeah, totally. It would have been mayhem.
Yeah.
Like, you're not allowed to, like, get attention.
Could
like
you
that.
Imagine proposing at an ECW show?
Well, yeah, you're the Philly guy. You know.
Gina, I love you so much.
Gina, I met you down on Market Street, and we were buying fish.
It was love at first sight. As soon as I saw you buying a soft pretzel from a homeless person out of the shopping carts under Broad, under the L in Allegheny.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait to get married to you by those rocky steps.
It's
anyway,
going
to
be great.
I'm
we're
going to
get, it's going to be great. We're going to get a VFW hall, or maybe we're going to have a beef and beer benefit to pay for it. Gina, I love you, sweetie.
Oh, yeah, take you down to Gino's, even though you like Pat's better.
It's all right. They're across the street from one another.
We can't do both anymore. It's time for the Gino's-Pat divide to be one. You choose which one we go to. I'm going to stop going to... I go to Gino's.
This is a modern-day Romeo and Juliet. I'm a Pat's guy. You're a Gino's girl.
One thing I'll say is like... in the past 5 years, I went to Philly and I went to Pat and I bought one from each.
Yeah.
Just to eat them. And I was like, my conclusion was they're both garbage.
Yeah, Jim's.
I mean, there's fucking, I was like, yo.
You gotta go to Jim's.
I mean, whatever. I think like a steakhouse should make like a Philly cheesesteak with like amazing steak in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? It's like bulgogi. You know what I mean? It's like
I wish it was bulgogi.
It's a fucking bulgogi.
It does. It sounds like a Sopranos thing. Who's this fucking bulgogi over here?
The Korean Sopranos.
Yeah.
Fucking bulgogi.
This fucking bulgogi. This guy with his bulgogi. Hey, will you come over here with your bulgogi? You got your bibimbap.
Oh, man. Your bibimbap.
I love a Korean menu, like, because it's always like bulgogi, bibimbap, and then it's like spicy beef.
Yeah. Beef tongue.
Beef, spicy beef. They haven't figured out how to make that fun yet. All right, anyway, coming at you. No disrespect to all the... Is there any Korean wrestlers?
I don't know. It'd be good to find out. I'm sure there are.
You know, Vince is dying for a Kim Jong-un gimmick.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. it's Kim Jong-il, and he's, like, super ill. He's a rapper. All right.
That character's name would have to be, like, the leader, right? Like,
Kim, the leader.
Yeah.
He called the son. The interview.
Or what they actually call him, which is, like, the eternal sun god or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that happened. Daniel Bryan cut a great promo.
Yeah.
I love the thing of like he's the advocate for AJ.
Yeah.
Why did AJ just when he's like, "Do you want to do it?" He put his arms up for like the yes chant, yeah. But he didn't do the up and down motion with his arms, so go. The crowd was like waiting for it. Yeah. AJ always does something awkward.
Yeah.
Like, he's the best. Like, man, AJ is like one of the most over wrestlers. It's great. Yeah, but that was cool. Daniel Bryan did a great job there. I thought. Of selling that. Like, I really felt like he was like, he clearly, like, studied. It almost felt like he got reprimanded.
Sure.
And it was like, I have to do a good job today, honey, all right? Yeah. Our birdie's not going to eat.
Oh, God. Have you seen their, her clothing line, Birdie and Bee or some shit like that? It's like fucking, like, $45, $50 t-shirts for women. Give me
The Bellas?
Give me a fucking break. No one wants your shit. No one wants that, Bellas.
I want it.
No one wants it.
My wife would probably buy it. All right. James Ellsworth released.
Gone.
Some people were posting on the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page. Join our Facebook page if you want to talk about wrestling at 4 in the morning.
Maybe you're strung out. Maybe you're going through something like Tulo is. Who knows? Who knows why you're up?
They released Ellsworth. Some people think it's like saw a picture of Carmella and Ellsworth like behind the stage. They think it might be work to like bring Ellsworth back at some point.
Maybe. Yeah.
I get why they cut him because like artistically, it's like, hey, well, we did a lot with him. I mean, if I'm James Ellsworth, go back to Baltimore and be like, yo, that was a dream.
And now
I'd be so grateful.
Yeah, and now he has his, I think he had his own promotion.
Right.
And now he's former WWE superstar James Ellsworth.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, like, his release is like, that's great. The weird thing is that, because I don't know what else I would do with him.
No.
What else? You could put him in 205 Live. I think he would actually bring some energy there.
Right.
That actually might be a good thing for him, right?
Yeah.
What if he had one goof in there?
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
All right, I think maybe I would do that.
Like to see somebody, lose their job, but.
Right. All right, then SmackDown ended super cool. Angle finally Raw retaliated.
Yeah.
Took them forever. They came in. Angle gave Olympic Slam. I thought it was pretty cool. They all came. It happened. You know, again, the same thing. It's just like, I'm like,
Samoa Joe?
Why do they care? Yeah. Part of the problem is that I actually think what I would have done leading up to SmackDown, even though the branding of it, leading up to Survivor Series, the branding was, this is the one night a year this happens.
Right.
I'd be like, leading up to it, they also invade each other's show.
Right.
Because that was part of the problem. It was like, we have to have, writing-wise, we have to have matches here.
Right.
But we also are a unit now.
Yeah.
So that's also something that made it like kind of awkward for them. Anyway. Cool. All right, so we're going to play these cash-ins. We'll get into our predictions for Survivor Series. I'm going to bring up something non-wrestling related.
Cool.
I saw the movie The Disaster Artist.
Yeah.
I saw a screening.
Yeah.
Q&A with James Franco after.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, because I'm in the guild, bitches.
The guild is...
Got to tell you.
The guild. We're not talking about Dungeons & Dragons guilds here, nerds. We're talking about a union of actors... protecting their rights as employees.
Well, I'm saying that for the reason I thought of it is that I think there should be like a Tommy Wiseau wrestler. I think that would be great. He already has the hair. Man, Franco destroys in this movie.
Does he?
Yeah.
He goes to Burning Man.
He does?
James Franco.
I mean, he also goes to the coffee shop by my house. I see him all the time.
Yeah, man. Yeah, but yeah.
And it's like.
But do you pay $500 to live in the desert and see him?
No,
because that's where it's at.
No, I pay my rent, and I do pay $6 for my coffee in the morning.
Jesus! You're hot shotting me and Zig.
Yeah,
no. It's
I pay $6.
Yeah, no, it's anyway. I thought Franco, he kills in that movie. Like I'm like to me, I'm like as a comedian, I'm like that is like an Oscar performance for me.
Yeah.
And I don't know, he might be up for it. I don't know, but I'm like, there's so much. The reason I bring it up is there's so much disrespect for comedy acting and the Academy.
Yeah.
And comedy acting is the hardest. Will Ferrell should have an Oscar.
Yeah.
Anchorman's an Oscar-worthy performance to me. I really believe that.
Yeah.
I think, to make something... Okay, all right, even Austin Powers.
Sure.
To me, is like, that's like an Oscar performance to me.
Yeah.
What makes it like, why is Casey Affleck like just like keeping his eyes open a little longer than they should? Like, that's all he says nothing. Like, what's, you know,
I mean,
in a movie that no one likes?
Yeah, I think I always say that
Jeff Bridges, the dude, Michael Oscar
Keaton,
performance.
Michael Keaton in everything.
Beetlejuice,
Oscar performance. Oscar worthy, easily.
100% These making people laugh is impossible. Look at Rotten Tomatoes. The comedies are the movies that tank.
Yeah,
like when you hit it as a comedy, the drama is pretty like. You could get a 60% on Rotten Tomatoes with a shitty drama.
Yeah.
Everybody gets sad knowing everyone can be funny.
That's true. Right. Not everyone can be funny. You hear that?
The one comedy performance I think in recent history that actually got a nomination for the Oscars, I think, was Paul Giamatti in Sideways. I like that movie. I thought it was good.
I'm a little pig man.
And maybe
I'm Paul Giamatti and I'm acting. I'm overacting. Oh, I'm overacting. Oh. Everything he does, he's like, oh, okay, I guess I'll go fuck myself. I'm an actor.
That's how he did John Adams. Everyone was like, Mr. Adams, we need you in the Great Hall.
Oh, yeah? Well, I got to go sign the fucking Constitution. Okay? Fuckhead? I'm a pig man.
Where's your quill? Where is your quill?
Oh, my quill is up your fucking ass. Oscar! Give me an Oscar!
I don't like him as an actor. God.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think I know a place where this is on par. This is the same level of energy.
When I kick five girls in a bed, I go woo.
They should get Giamatti in the Flair movie.
Because they know they've been for the world champion. Woo!
When I kick a woman out of bed, I go woo. And they go woo 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 because they know. They've been with the champion.
Champion. I think that's Flair does. He's like, eats his own words.
Yeah, champion. The champion.
All right. Let's hear some cash-ins. We got Charles, I believe, he's talking about Pyro.
Okay.
I'm interested in this because Pyro needs to come back.
It does.
You want 5 hours of my week? Give me some fucking Pyro.
Yeah.
Hey, Cowhead. This is Charles, the dryer alert.
How about it?
Back after a couple weeks off from cash-ins. I just want to talk about the Pyro situation. So I just got done watching the Goldberg 24, and I never realized they test that shit before the show, like hours before the show. Don't know why it's necessary, but it seems like it might be. So not only are they using that Pyro during the show, but they're testing it all before the show. So that $10,000 whatever dollars double in the week. So I can see how that would add up. That being said, people like Kane has to have a Pyro. Brock has to have a Pyro. Can you imagine if Goldberg ever came back again and he didn't have those sparklers at the start? It wouldn't be Goldberg. So do it for your big guys as necessary. Save a couple thousand you can on the others. But, yeah, I kind of get it, but I still think it's necessary.
Well, we did talk about this on the show because Charles has another cash in about Ronda Rousey, which we'll play right now. But we did talk about this. There must be a thing where it's like if you do it for one guy, the cost is like almost the same.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's like just to bring in the team.
Right.
Or else they've clearly thought of that.
Right.
Right. But I think it's just like if you do it, it's probably I don't think the cost of the technics is what it is. It's about having that team on the road.
Yeah.
All right.
Guys, I completely forgot. Oh, there's Matt again. Completely forgot the show tonight. We are at the bar, hanging out, you know, grabbing some beer, grabbing some water as well, too. Who walks in? Motherfucking Ronda fucking Rousey.
Did you
Ronda Rousey here, Riverside tonight, NXT Live. Woo! Well, you know, let's see. She was hugging all the girls and everything. That's fine, whatever. But she's here. She's coming. You better
be
ready.
Awesome.
I don't know if I'm excited. But I kind of want to be.
You sound excited.
He's excited.
10:26.
Again, what is with you guys? You called in. Like, yo, compare those two cash-ins. Listen to his energy on the first one.
Hey, Cowhead. This is Charles.
All right, listen to this.
Oh, guys, I completely forgot. Oh, this is Matthew again. Completely forgot the show tonight.
Okay. Do you hear how excited he is for Ronda Rousey?
Yeah.
All he did was see her.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you're going to like it when she shows up on Raw.
Yeah. I wonder what her music is going to sound like.
I'm not like most girls. That'll get it, ready, ready. She's going to get the Giamatti Nia Jax song.
I'm not like most girls. I'm a little pig man. I'm a little man and I'm a pig. I'm Paul Giamatti.
Okay. All right. Let's say we got one more cash in, and then we'll get into predictions. Zig, you got the cash in? You got the card up?
Yep.
Okay, hold on. Let me just hit you with one thing quick.
Did you just say that me as WWE Universal...
I want that in an EDM song, him going...
Oh, man, I love it. Okay. this is funny. This is Samoa Joe's gripe. This is like one of our sound effects. Probably gonna delete this one. Okay. What does that even sound like? Oh, whatever.
I was fumbling around all over the place.
Okay. Matt, NXT, cash in. All right. War Games is coming up. This is probably gonna be about this.
Dan Black. How you doing, Newman?
He's definitely gonna give me
this
shit.
Matthew.
Talking about NXT.
Time is 10:15 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Riverside, California. I just got out of NXT Live, and holy shit, was it a great show.
Holy motherfucking shit.
Guys,
motherfucking
do you know shit. Why you should be watching NXT? Dan, do you know why you should be watching NXT?
Tell us.
I can tell you right now why you should be watching NXT. Aleister Black, Drew McIntyre, versus Andre Cien Almas, and the Velveteen Dream.
Andrade Cien Almas.
Holy motherfucking shit. Not a fatal four-way. Tag team match.
Yeah.
And then there was a fatal four-way, a women's fatal four-way. Kairi Sane, Nikki Cross, Ember Moon, and what's her face? There you go, Peyton Royce. Who cares? She won anyway.
She's iconic.
But holy shit, Dan, you need to be watching NXT. You know, Scrap, you know, SmackDown or whatever the hell you're watching right now. Go watch NXT.
Nothing wrong with SmackDown.
There's something wrong with SmackDown.
Nothing wrong with
SmackDown.
I love
go watch NXT. Watch it.
Yeah,
I love when you guys come out of the shows and you're clearly excited. Like that is the optimal cash. And it's like, yeah. I love that you're like, we got to call the comedians in wrestling. Like,
yeah.
That's a fucking bet. Hey, man, I don't care if you shit on me, whatever. But that's awesome. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I saw when I went and saw NXT downtown, they had, it wasn't Andrade Cien Almas was not in the match, but it was Aleister Black with Drew McIntyre, I think, versus Sabatelli and Moss. And it was amazing. They look really good together, McIntyre and Black. Blackintyre. That's Blackintyre. What I would call them.
I will say this, is that I did watch NXT this week. Watched it right before the show. I watched it. I dug it a lot. I watched last week also, but after we recorded, it makes it tough to watch. I'm excited for this War Games. Let's talk about War Games quick. Explain to me War Games. I've only seen clips of War Games.
Sure.
I never watched an original War Games. I did watch World War III when that was during like the Nitro
right.
Monday Night Wars, but this is different. So how does this work?
So the only match of NXT TakeOver War Games that is the War Games match is the Sanity versus Authors of Pain with Roddy Strong and Undisputed Era.
Right.
And it's like either two teams or three teams, usually two teams of like four to five people, and it takes place on two rings.
Simultaneously.
There's no DQs. There's really nothing to gain from winning other than bragging rights.
But what is it physically set up? Isn't there two rings and then there's a caged ring in the middle?
There's two rings next to each other and then a cage that covers both of those rings.
Oh, right. So they're totally closed off.
Yes. And it started as
a Hell in a Cell cage or a completely closed cage?
Like it sits on top of at the edge of the
But it has ring. A roof.
Yeah.
So you can't get out.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And it started off as a specialty match, a gimmick match for the Four Horsemen. It was like their kind of match.
Right.
Like the House of Horrors for Bray.
Right.
The War Games match was like the Four Horsemen. That was their thing. So, so it's just a super cage match.
So what happens when one match is over in one of the cages?
It's just that there's two rings. It's not like both. They can interact with each other and fight each other.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, I thought it's like World War III where like the it's like pods and then they combine at one point.
I think they're all in there together.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited to
Which
check it out.
Which is why Jerk Mills had brought up how he doesn't see how they can do a War Games without blood. Because really it is sort of just the point is that you're going to get fucked up in there.
Oh, right. Why can't they do blood? I mean, it's NXT.
They could. They could, and they probably will.
They will do blood.
And
Dusty, just has to, the blood just has to look accidental.
Right.
That's the only difference.
Yeah.
You can be like, hey, sorry, he bled, right? And also, it's only on the network. Why can't it be blood? It's not a PG.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess there is NXT PG?
I don't know.
One of the guys' insanity was in a War Games match.
Oh, really?
He said that. They showed a clip of him.
Eric Young? Or
The one who's like the older guy.
Oh, yeah, Eric Young. Yeah. And I read that Dusty actually came up with this after watching Thunderdome.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to put that on WCW.
I'm going to check it out. All right. Let's
it's
going to
be fun.
Let's get into the card. Let's get into prediction. All right. Hey, and hey, guys, before I forget to mention, remember, Gabrus's podcast, High and Mighty. Leave him 5-star review and write, why didn't you go on Dan Black's podcast, The Comedians of Wrestling, you fat fuck, or whatever.
That sounds like every opening to his show is someone calling him fat.
Yeah. Just be like, yo, you fat fuck. Why would you disrespect another Long Islander?
I'm going to tag him when we drop this episode tonight.
What are you, a friggin' bulgogi?
What are you, a bulgogi?
Yeah, call him a fucking bulgogi. call him a fucking bulgogi and tell him 5 stars. Tell him, why didn't you call him a 5? If we flood him, also, just give us 5 stars also. I don't want to see you give him a bunch. This takes 2 seconds. But if we flood him and we give him shit for not coming on the show, it'll be fucking really funny.
Who's this guy? Is Bibimbap Bulgogi?
Bibimbap fucking Bulgogi. I mean, with the spicy beef. Also the spicy beef soup. All right. Okay.
I think that your rap name, anybody's rap name, is like the word young plus your favorite Korean barbecue menu item.
Young bulgogi,
beef tongue.
Young beef tongue, young bibimbap.
Young miso pork belly.
Yo, my name is Young Bulgogi Bibimbap with an extra egg. All right. Yo, my name is Young, those dishes you get before the meal starts. Yo, my name is Young Sample Dish.
My young side dish.
Young Sample Dish. All right. Okay. Let's go through the card. Try to go from the least important matches to the most important thing.
All right. Alexa Bliss versus Charlotte Flair.
Yeah, the least important match. No, okay. There is a chance that opened. No, there's no chance. Yo, what happens in this match? How do you book this match?
I think Alexa Bliss should win.
And she'll cheat. Schmazz it up, have Alexa win. I think Alexa has to win. You really need her to look important, but you can't bury... You can't bury SmackDown too much. I think Alexa will cheat and win.
Yeah.
All right, next up we got The Shield versus The New Day.
Oof. Shield will win.
Shield's going to win, and I'm going to throw this out there. I think somebody on the New Day, hopefully Big E, I think there might be a breakup coming.
Yeah.
They were kind of telegraphing that.
Yeah, I could see that.
All right, next up we got Lesnar versus Styles.
The least important. Lesnar Styles.
This is the order of the match that is on the website, so I'm going from 8 to number 1.
But you didn't even try, okay? You listen to this podcast. Yeah.
Why can't you rank this?
Yeah. All right, well, how do you book this? I mean, I think, here's what I'm going to say, and I'm going to stick with it.
Okay.
I said it on the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page. I think AJ Styles wins this match clean.
You know, I was about to say the same thing, and that it might have been a hot take, but yeah, it kind of feels like he might.
Now, I said that he could win with a term that I've now coined, which is going to be added by Aaron Finnerty to the official Cal glossary, is with a fluke roll-up.
Yeah.
Which is like a fruit roll-up,
right.
But it's a fluke roll-up, meaning it's a small package. There's no need for this term at all. There's already a term for it. But small package feels not part of the women's revolution.
Right.
Right? That feels like an old, dated, patriarchal term.
It's
he's got a small package. No.
Well, it just means
it's called a fluke roll-up.
Fluke by the foot?
Yeah. That should be the name of this episode. Survivor Series, fluke roll-up. Survivor Series, : fluke roll-up. Okay? Zig, Okay.
Fluke roll-up.
Fluke roll-up Bulgogi.
All right, done.
Okay.
It sounds like a weird, like, army call sign. Like, yeah. Fluke roll-up Bulgogi.
Oh, yeah. Shield. Fluke roll-up Bulgogi. Shield. okay. okay. Oh, man.
Fluke roll-up Bulgogi.
No wrestling podcast that has nothing to do with wrestling as much as this podcast. All right, yeah. So I just think that AJ will win, and here's why I think so. He's like, all right. Jerk Mills was giving me shit on the Comedians Wrestling Facebook page. Hey, join if you want to talk about wrestling at 4 in the morning. All right. But he said that, like, why would they give Lesnar, AJ, that rub? They're both, like, the same age.
Right.
AJ's already has the belt. He doesn't need it. My thing is that I just think Lesnar needs some skin in the game.
Yeah.
Like, Lesnar has no vendettas.
No.
He's cleaned house. Like, he needs, like, when he lost to Goldberg, he had that chip. Why can't he lose to AJ? Like, AJ's the phenomenal one. He eked out a win on him one time at Survivor Series with the fluke roll-up.
Yeah.
And
I would like to see AJ.
And then
AJ,
he wants to avenge that. He doesn't get that at Mania, but whatever.
I would like to see AJ hit one phenomenal forearm and pin him clean.
I think he should hit him with a couple.
A couple?
I think he should do one, do a somersault, go to the other side of the ring, do another one, do a somersault, do another one.
Yeah.
Lesnar keeps getting up, and he really puts him down.
Yeah.
I would love that. Yeah. Oh, man, has he done that yet?
No.
Has he done a forearm roll? AJ's so good.
Yeah.
And the best part about AJ is he's good. Part of what makes him so good is his moveset.
Yeah.
Which I love. All right, what's else?
All right, we got The Miz versus Baron Corbin.
I think Miz just wins.
Yeah.
I probably won't be clean, but I think Miz will win.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess...
It sucks that none of these belts are on the line.
Right. There's nothing there. That's part of it. It's like nothing. And we don't care about the brand supremacy. So that's a match that, like, we don't really care. I just like Miz more.
Right.
It's not... has no stakes of, like, AJ... like, when the two champions of, like, main belts, it's kind of like, ooh, which one of these guys is better?
Right.
That works. But here you're like, which... I don't know. Yeah.
All right, we got Team Raw, which is Angle, Strowman, Balor, Samoa Joe, Triple H versus Team SmackDown, which is McMahon, Orton, Rhodes, Shinsuke, and John Cena.
Yeah, I think SmackDown takes this.
Really?
I think AJ and I think Angle and Triple H are going to go at it.
Sure.
And so I think...
Yeah, because I mean, on paper, Raw has the... like the stronger team.
But that match is so cool.
Yeah.
Like, you think about the possibilities.
Yeah.
I don't even like five-man matches or whatever. Well, but, like, the stakes, I guess, like, the stakes here are, what are they setting up?
Yeah.
There's so much major talent in there. It's like, what's the story walking away here?
I'm glad you said that, because when Raw invaded SmackDown, something I saw happen, and I was like, ooh, I didn't even know I wanted that,
right.
Was Nakamura went after Strowman. And I never realized that I wanted to see Nakamura-Strowman, but I do. And I think that it's going to be fun.
Nakamura-Strowman, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Man, Nakamura is like in no man's land right now.
Yeah. I think he just needs a good, they all do.
Being in no man's land is good.
Right.
Because when you come out of nowhere, it's like the Jinder effect. Like,
right.
When you pop back in, it feels big. It's going to happen for, like, being in no man's land is there's a benefit to it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Right. We got Team Raw, which is Alicia Fox, Nia Jax,
the female team,
the female version.
Yeah,
Sasha Banks versus Team SmackDown.
I mean, I don't know. I think that probably Raw takes this one because Asuka will, like, they're gonna put over Asuka the most here.
Yeah. I'm so not into Alicia Fox. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do it. She's just such a bad actress. Like, I know what she's going for, and it's not good.
She's going for, like, your crazy ex-girlfriend?
Something, but, like, even even my crazy ex-girlfriends, like, make sense. Like, she doesn't even make sense. I need you on my team.
Rachel Bloom?
I want you on my team.
Friend of the show, Rachel Bloom. She's never been on the show, but she's my friend.
Yeah.
So I imagine she's, you know, thinks my show is cool.
We should have her on Casual Corner.
I mean, she knows nothing about rap. She's talking about musical theater.
That's perfect.
We could actually talk to her about... Maybe we could talk to her about, like, the... Hold on. It's on. We got too many boards now.
Fashion.
The fashion of wrestling.
You want me to reach out to her?
What?
You want me to reach out to her?
Yeah, let's put her in the books. Yeah, no, I mean, maybe we could. I don't know. yeah.
Right now, Zig is unlocking the case that holds our book. It's a large leather-bound book that has the names.
Yeah, and it's 5 pages of Gabrus, that Golgi fat fuck. 5 stars. He does a thing. I'll explain it. You roast him in the comments, and he'll read it on the show. If we all tell him, why didn't you show up to the Comedians of Wrestling? He'll read it on his show.
Cross-promotion.
And then we won't let him on the show.
You're banned from ringside.
Yeah. What is it? Fluke roll up, Bulgogi. Shield? Anyway, all right.
Fluke roll up, Bulgogi. Shield.
Okay. All right, we got Cesaro and Sheamus versus the Usos.
Cesaro and Sheamus versus the Usos. Again, who cares? I mean, I would just put the Usos over because they're an actual. I guess they're both actual tag teams. I think Usos are doing good work.
Usos are so good, and they have a new hat out that I might buy.
I saw that hat.
Yeah, and I don't love the font. I don't love the font. That's probably why I wouldn't buy it. But
I like the font. It's very Magic the Gathering.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan. Really, but they changed the font on the cards, and it's very similar. Cool.
And there's a pre-show match between Enzo and Kalisto, if you care about that.
Snore.
I told you, do it least important to most important. And you did the Enzo pre-show match last.
I'm the most casual of fans,
guys. We should give this match the most analysis.
Yeah, all right.
Who is it? Enzo versus who?
Kalisto.
Lucha. Lucha.
The only thing I like is when Kalisto wins it, then like Enzo gets a rematch.
He seems
cool in that zone where he's like, I'm coming for the belt again.
Yeah, I'm a coming for the belt.
Yeah, I'm a coming for the belt, Bulgogi. All right, cool. All right, did we cover it all?
Yeah,
I think we did. Hey, I hope you guys enjoyed my dad.
Oh, wait, you were going to bring up something that wasn't wrestling? Did you do that?
I did that. It was the disaster.
Oh, yes.
Check that movie out. I thought it was really solid. Those guys need more money.
Oh, and one more thing.
Seth Rogen is starving.
One more thing. Chris Jericho,
Jericho Omega last week.
You tweeted, look, Chris Jericho. You tweeted that, men should buy tickets to your Mark cruise because there's going to be a lot of women there who also purchase tickets wearing bikinis. You know what happens, Jericho, when you try to use female fans as bait to bring men onto your cruise? You know what happens, Jericho, do you? You just made the swamp!
You just made the swamp.
You're in the swamp, Jericho.
Jericho is a member of the swamp. Wow. We got to keep a list. We got to keep a list of the swamp.
That's the swamp. Jericho.
All of Washington.
Yeah.
Well, they get drained, don't they? Yeah.
So far, all of Washington.
Yeah. And Chris Jericho. You're in the swamp.
Yeah. All right. Hey, everybody. Add Roy Moore to the swamp.
Yeah. Oh, God. He's in a totally different swamp.
Guy got banned from the mall.
Oh, Christ.
You imagine getting banned from the mall?
How many people don't... All the wackos you see that aren't banned from malls?
Yeah. I saw someone...
Yo, the mall is basically an asylum.
I went to high school with this guy who would... He would go to the mall and like it was a two-story mall, and he would climb over the second story, hang like, you know, by like the railing, and when people would come over to look, he would like grab their foot. He didn't get banned from the mall.
No. He was part of the mall.
He was part of it.
He was an attraction. He was part of the culture.
Yeah, we're going to go to Cinnabon. We're going to get scared. Cinnabon,
we're going
to
get a leg grab.
Yeah, Chad's going to grab our legs. It was all good.
This guy, one of his coworkers was like, it was well known that he hung out at high schools.
Yeah.
We all thought it was super weird.
Yeah. Fuck.
This guy's going to win the Senate seat.
No, he's not. He's trailing by 12 points now.
Oh, now he's low. Oh, I didn't see. I mean, I saw him talking about it, but when I saw it, he was up by 11 points.
Yeah, no, so he's, yeah, that was today. He was trailing by 12.
You think the Democrats going to win because of this?
Yeah, I think so. More and more women are coming out, you know, rotten hell. It's gross. You're a pedophile. Like, it's not up for debate. And then you got these.
The sad thing is, like, his wife is, like, totally, like, behind it.
Yeah, well.
She's just like, it's a stunt.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is not what this podcast is.
No.
Let's cut this part out there. Can we do that? No. Oh, he says, no, we don't have those capabilities.
No,
we can't get it done. Anyway, hey, everyone, remember the catchphrase. If you smell what the Rhonda is kicking. Remember, Gabers' podcast, High and Mighty. Give it 5 stars. Give ours 5 stars first, and then go on there. Get Leave it. A cash in. We had a great time. Keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. Thank you.